We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your South of the Border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
John was the most incredible person I'd ever met. Aviation was John's love and passion. He was present as a Marine and present as a dad, as a husband. It was a normal, ordinary Wednesday for us. When I was picking up my daughter from daycare, my friend that I would carpool with mentioned that there was an aircraft that went down. In an instant, you know, your life does change. And you, especially having children, have to decide, how am I gonna do this? I got a message from a friend, and they said, there's this foundation called Tunnel to Towers. And they said on TV that they're gonna pay for your and John's mortgage. And it just felt like a frozen moment in time that I'd never forget. I'm so grateful for that.
By giving $11 a month, you're joining us on our mission to do good. Go to T2T.org. It only takes $11 a month to make a positive impact.
$1 million will be on the line for a field of top juveniles at Los Alamitos. It's the running of the Golden State Million Futurity on Sunday, October 27th. They'll be dreaming of riches, led by fastest qualifier, American Dreamin'. This filly was simply sensational in the Golden State Million Trials. Plus, Lethal Cowboy 123 and Big Bang Rocket will be looking to repeat their big trial wins. And can Ultimate Battle win a Futurity after two runner-up finishes? The Golden State Million Futurity, Sunday, October 27th.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Well, all right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we begin another week of covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, here from Las Vegas, Nevada, your gaming capital, right at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in the gaming capital. We welcome you to the show. We welcome all of you that see us now on the South Point Studios Network at YouTube. And if you haven't, try it. Go to YouTube. Hit South Point Studios in the search bar. You'll get us. You click on the show, and then you'll not only see us, but hear us. And if you haven't already, what the heck are you waiting for? Subscribe. It's free. And then you can get in the chat room and start chatting with all the other folks that join us each and every race day morning. So we welcome you to the show if you're watching us and listening to us here this morning. And, of course, our anchor radio station here in town, in case you're zipping around town here early in the morning listening to us, is Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. Now, our Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM is the exclusive radio stations for broadcasting of the USC football team, USC football games this year, and the Rams in the NFL also. You can hear the Rams and USC right there at the Sports Talk 1400 AM during their season. And, of course, anywhere you get us simulcasting and streaming at our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas, .world, .global. Your iPhones and your Androids with the phone apps. It's, of course, the KSHP phone app will allow you to listen to us through the radio station. And, of course, the YouTube app will get you to see us and hear us on the YouTube streaming. And that, of course, is for your iPhone, Android, and anywhere else you get your podcasting. Welcome to the show. All right, look, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Okay, Breeders' Cup, 16 days, 4 hours, 33 minutes, and 52 seconds and counting until we get it on the two-day championship of the Breeders' Cup. Coming up Monday, this coming Monday, it will be Breeders' Cup pre-entries deadline day. Now, that's the day when, if you're intending to go into the Breeders' Cup, you have to enter on Monday. That's the first stage of the entries, and, of course, starting in the Breeders' Cup. You have to enter the pre-entries, and you have to declare, if you happen to be an owner that, or a trainer that's still vacillating maybe between one or two races, you have to declare what race is going to be your preference race when you pre-enter. Then everything percolates. It all percolates for a week. And then the following Monday, the Monday before the Breeders' Cup weekend, is the day that they actually take entries. You'll get the entries. You get the post positions. You get the exact fields as they will run on the weekend. And then, of course, game on. Now, this coming Monday is, of course, Breeders' Cup pre-entries. This coming 1 week from today, it'll be the Daily Racing Form Breeders' Cup Advanced Edition. This is the one that has past performances of every horse that are pre-entered on Monday. Okay, every horse pre-entered on Monday will be in the Breeders' Cup Advanced Edition, plus all of the history of the Breeders' Cup, handicappers, etc. It is an absolute must-have edition of the Breeders' Cup, the Breeders' Cup Advance. That'll come out 1 week from today. Rich Eng will be along a little bit later on to tell you if you can't get it where you normally get your racing forms, then you can call the office here in Las Vegas and they will mail it to you. We'll talk about that with Richie a little bit later on. So that's it now. Pre-entries on Monday. 1 week from today, the Breeders' Cup Advance. 1 week from this coming Monday, or 2 weeks away yet, is the actual entries. And then we're off to the races, so to speak, for Breeders' Cup. 16 days, and we're getting the squeeze crunch time for the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, all the great stuff that's happening here at the South Point. Of course, we'll have the Breeders' Cup preview show, the Breeders' Cup handicapping preview show with our handicappers Jonathan Hardoon and John Linda will be on Wednesday, the 30th. Of October at 4 p.m. and it'll only be on the YouTube streaming network. Only at the YouTube South Point streaming network. Won't have it simulcasting on any of our other platforms. That'll come up on Wednesday, the 30th of October, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Jonathan, John, and some other guest handicappers as well going over Breeders' Cup. Then on Friday, the first day of the Breeders' Cup, day one of the two-day Breeders' Cup, the day that they run all the races for the two-year-olds. As soon as that is concluded on November 1st, on Friday, November 1st, we'll be doing our annual Breeders' Cup seminar in the Grandview Lounge with Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo. That'll be in the Grandview Lounge at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That lounge is adjacent to the racebook in case you want to make a late bet that night. It'll be after all of the races are concluded on the West Coast. And that'll be in the lounge, so it's a nice lounge setup and all that. That will be simulcast on the South Point website. You go to South Point, then you'll hit the race book, and there'll be a link there that will stream the seminar on that Friday night. That's the only place you can get that. The seminar will be on the South Point seminar, the South Point website, as you can see on the screen now, okay? All right, that's on the Friday. Then on Saturday, November the 2nd, the big Breeders' Cup Day, we'll have the big grand ballroom viewing party going on upstairs here at the South Point. And all I can tell you is that, you know, I do want to remind everybody, too, that on November 1st, the grand ballroom will also be open for that first day if you want to spend time up there in the grand ballroom. It will be open then. Now, the doors will open at 9 a.m., and you got big banquet tables to seat between 8 and 10 people with a whole lot of room to put out all of the handicapping stuff, etc. Food and beverage specials. You'll have betting stations, plenty of betting windows, plus the betting kiosks. And there's going to be a prize giveaway, too. They're going to have prize giveaways there. It all happens in the Grand Ballroom on November the 2nd, Saturday, November 2nd. And we ask you to join myself and John Lindo and Jonathan Hardoon. Come by to our table while we're watching and betting those races. And say hi. We'd love to say hi to you. All of that, including parking your car in this parking lot here at the South Point Complex, is free. F-R-E-E, free. So we invite you to join us for the big Breeders' Cup celebration and Breeders' Cup, two-day Breeders' Cup days. Okay? I think you got it all settled now with the pre-entries, the racing form advance, and et cetera, et cetera. Do want to remind everybody that over the past weekend, there were a couple of milestones that were hit. Irad Ortiz Jr. got his 4,000th career win at Keeneland, and that happened on Sunday. His 4,000th career win, he won it with the Gold Temper in the very first race on Sunday. It was a favorite, paid $3.30. By the way, that was a pick by Rich Eng on Sunday for trainer Will Walden. 4,000 career wins, and he got it in a 14-year span. Only 14 years rising as a professional jockey did he reach the plateau of 4,000 wins, Irad Ortiz Jr. Now, Phil D'Amato also got a milestone at Santa Anita, and I do believe that was also on Sunday. Let me check and make sure. Yes, on Sunday at Santa Anita in the sixth race, Wishes to Riches with the Kyle Frey aboard. Paying $4.20 for that gave Phil D'Amato his career training win 1,000. He got his 1,000th victory as a trainer. And he was also the owner and breeder of the horse. So he owned, bred, and trained the horse, got his 1,000th win in the sixth race on Sunday at Santa Anita. So congratulations to both Irad Ortiz Jr. and Phil D'Amato for those milestones. Churchill Downs said they're going to race on the turf when they come up with their meet that starts on the 27th of this month, and that's only about a week away, about 10 days away. When they start their meet on the 27th of October, and that'll go through the 1st of December, they said they're going to limit racing on the turf now. They have scheduled 22 turf races over that meet. Because, you know, they've been having trouble with the turf course, and the last meet they raced all on the main track. So they're going to try the turf course. They say they're going to have 22 scheduled races on the turf, and hopefully the turf will hold up for them. And if it does, they might even, put a couple of more extra races on the turf. But they will be running limited races on the turf at Churchill Downs when they open their meet on the 27th of this month. The Queen Elizabeth II winner is not going to the Breeders' Cup. So we won't have that winner going to the Breeders' Cup. And the Perryville Stakes at Belmont and Aqueduct drew an overflow field of 14, 12, plus two also eligibles, highlighted by Bookham Dano. Bookham Dano will go in the Perryville. And Seize the Gray, Dwayne Lucas has said that he's intending on running Seize the Gray in the Breeders' Cup Mile. In the Breeders' Cup Mile, and he might have to face Muth. I think Muth is going to go in the Breeders' Cup Mile as well. So we'll wait and see. That should be a good race there. All right? So those are some of the updates on Breeders' Cup, etc. Coming up this week, we got more of those state-bred stakes race cards running around the country. And as far as on Friday, It'll be the Oklahoma Classics Night at Remington Park. The Oklahoma Classics Night at Remington will feature, well, how much? Ten Oklahoma Classic stakes races for all the Oklahoma breds, all different divisions, obviously. So that'll happen on Friday at Remington Park. On Saturday, believe it or not, across the pond at Ascot, they're going to have the British Championships Day at Ascot. They got five stakes races there on their British Championship Day over at Ascot. Other stakes races on Saturday, Belmont at Aqueduct has a couple, Gulfstream has a couple, Keeneland will have two, including a Grade 2 event. Santa Anita will check in with a stakes race, and Woodbine will hold the Grade 3 Ontario Derby. That'll happen on Saturday. And on Sunday, Belmont at Aqueduct, Santa Anita, they'll all come in with a stakes race. Keeneland will hold the Grade 3 Dowager, and Woodbine will also have a couple of stakes races. So it's a little bit light going into the Breeders' Cup because we're all waiting for the big Breeders' Cup day, as you know. And all I can say is they continue with the state bred stakes races. This week it'll be the Oklahoma Classics at Remington Park, and we'll wait and see there. Okay. And I think that's about all. Let me give you some results from Monday. They had a special Monday Columbus Day Indigenous Persons Day card at Santa Anita. And Kazuchi Kimura had a big day at Santa Anita on Monday. He won three races. He won the second race with Rapita at 380, the third race with Sorrento Sky, trained by Phil D'Amato, 1720 there. And his third win of the day came for trainer George Papapodromo in the fifth race in the form of Toulouse D-Track, paying $22.80. Papapodromo, that was his second win of the day on Monday. He also won the fifth race just before that with Mike Smith on Captain Coochie's, paying $8.80. But they got down to the last race of the day, and that last race of the day, a horse called We Can Did, paying $64 to win in an upset. Tyler Bays aboard there, causing a pick six carryover. So the pick six carryover goes to Friday's card at Santa Anita. Pick six carryover Friday at Santa Anita. Five out of six paid $2,277.80. The pick five, wow. $8.80, $22.80, $5 even, $16.80, and then the $64 horse. That pick five for 50 cents came back $72,376.75. Wow. On Keeneland on Sunday, the Franklin Handicap was won by Future Is Now. Paco Lopez aboard for Mike Trombetta, paying $15.76. 5.5 furlongs on the turf, and it was a new stakes record for that stakes at 101.47 for Future Is Now, outrunning Star of Mystery. Star of Mystery was the big favorite, broke from the rail in the full field at 5.5 furlongs. Never had a chance to run. It was just blocked all the way and around. Finally got clear, but it was too late then, finishing a fast closing second under Flavian Pratt. And Pandora's Gift, a big long shot, finished third. John Lendo came with a winner in the ninth and final race at Keeneland on Sunday for us in the form of Nighttime. Nighttime gets the job done for Tyler Gaffleone and trainer William Morey. Remember, we were talking about William Morey, how he used to train in Northern California, now finding success in Kentucky. That horse paid $6.34 there. I want to congratulate John for that winner for us. And as I said, Rich Eng won the first race with the IRAD Milestone at 4,000. That horse paid $3.30. Belmont at Aqueduct on Sunday, big day for Dylan Davis. Won the first race on a Chad Brown winner, paid $7 even, came back in the Knickerbocker, which was the third race on the card. And the winner was the winner, and the winner, Dylan Davis' second win, and Chad Brown's, by the way, second win. They coupled with each other to win the first and the Knickerbocker, the third race, paying $13.60. And then Davis came back in the sixth race aboard a Mark Cassie trainee, City of Oscars, paying $5.30. And then came in the eighth race with the Linda Rice trainee collaboration. That horse paid $6.30 to give Dylan Davis his fourth win on the day. And you have a carryover in the pick six at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct, for Friday. Okay? Thursday, tomorrow. Belmont and Aqueduct has a pick six carryover for tomorrow. The Fives paid $701 at Belmont and Aqueduct on Sunday. But they do have a carryover in the pick six. So you got a Santa Anita pick six and a carryover at Belmont at Aqueduct as well. All right. And finally, Santa Anita on Sunday. On Sunday at Santa Anita, feature race was the California flag. The winner there on the whim, Tiago Piera for Dean Peterson, paying $8 even, outrunning Fast Buck and None Above the Law. And Jonathan Ardoon came with the winner for us in the ninth and final race. One time mark. Kyle Frey aboard for Mark Glatt. Bet down from 7-2. This horse paid $5.20 there. But better a short price winner than a long face. Jonathan Ardoon gives us the winner of the last race at Santa Anita. And that was just about it for Sunday. Outside of Phil D'Amato's milestone of 1,000 wins that came in the sixth race. All right, time to look ahead, and we got to get started for looking ahead to this week's racing, and so we will take our first break, and when we come back, we've got Jonathan Ardoon back with us, Rich Eng as well, John Lindo, and of course, Jerry J will be along with us with a thought or two as well. And your racing menu for today comes up next, so don't go away. And if you haven't already tried, go to YouTube, South Point Studios, and subscribe. They're chatting away on the chat. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All right, taking a look around the country. First of all, here in Las Vegas, beautiful day out, a little breeze going on, and a little chilly out, too. 66 degrees right now outside, so just kind of like perfect. 66 degrees. We're going to get up to 92. Our days of 100 degrees or more are over, I believe, unless we get a little hot streak going on there. But they did say that we are in a red flag warning here in Las Vegas. That means that the conditions here are perfect for fires. In the rural areas, okay? That means that when the humidity is low and we're going to get up to 92 and then the wind is going to come through, that creates the conditions for flash fires. So keep aware of that when you're out there. We're in the red flag warning here in Las Vegas. As far as the rest of the country is concerned, Miami has 82, New York 61, Chicago 57, and of course Los Angeles 71. And are you ready? Are you ready for this, folks? Phoenix, Arizona is no longer in the 100-degree area. Their high is going to be 97 today in Phoenix. They finally broke the 100 mark, so they're going to be 97 today in Phoenix, Arizona. As far as the precipitation around the country, pretty clear all through the country as far as the racing and areas are concerned with the racetrack. So we should be in good shape for that. All right, here's the racing menu for today. We remind you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day. Reflect that at the Pacific time zone because we are in it here in Las Vegas. These will be the first post times that roll out in our race book today, right behind us here at the South Point and in the Pacific time zone. But, you know, we're streaming on all different platforms around the world, and we know we're in all different kind of time zones. So whatever time zone you're in, just adjust to the Pacific time zone. Then you'll get it right. You won't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here's the menu for today. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has eight races, and they have a carryover in their pick five today at Delaware Park. It's a regular pick five, not a jackpot. There is a carryover of $5,851 today at Delaware Park and a first post time of 9:30 at Delaware Park. Then, of course, we go to Parks Racing. Parks Racing has that pick five jackpot carryover standing at $8,557. That's today, $8,557. 10 races, first post time at Parks is at 9:40. Next comes Keeneland Racecourse. Keeneland Racecourse has 8 races today. No stakes races, but a good competitive card throughout on Keeneland today. First post time is 10 a.m. at Keeneland. Good card today at Keeneland. All right, Finger Lakes is next. Finger Lakes has 8 races. Their first post time is 10:15 at Finger Lakes. Next comes Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis has 11 races. And the last race will be a quarter horse race. The first 10 will be Thoroughbreds. First post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis is set at 11:10 there. Presque Isle Downs is next. Presque Isle Downs has a first post time of 12 high noon today for their 8 races. Delta Downs has 8 races today, and Delta Downs has a first post time of 2:50. Mostly full fields at Delta today, 2:50 first post there. And then we wrap up this Wednesday menu with Remington Park. Remington Park has a first post time of 9 races at 4:30 at Remington Park. All righty. Let's go to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. We're getting ready. Now we're, you know, this is calm before the storm type of period of time, where we're all looking towards Breeders' Cup horses. We got some thoughts about where they're going, et cetera. But now I guess it's time for the horsemen to try to just fine-tune their horses with the final few workouts they're going to have before the Breeders' Cup, and then arrange for the transportation to Del Mar and get to Del Mar Racetrack and try to work over that track and keep their horses happy and in good shape, which is always something because, you know, horses... they're like fruit. They can spoil easily, so we'll have to wait for that. But taking a look at the Breeders' Cup fields, especially for the Classic, we've got City of Troy. I believe that's the Aidan O'Brien trainee. Is that right?
Right.
City of Troy. This horse has got so much publicity coming out of Europe that, you know, he's going to be well-favored, I think, in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And then, of course, we've got Fierceness, which is our three-year-old here, Todd Pletcher, Rapoli, that group there. Forever Young and Yoshiba Tesoro, the two Japanese horses. And don't underestimate the Japanese horses now because they have figured out how to get here and be competitive in America in the big races. As a matter of fact, in the big races, big racing days across the world. And I think that when they got that stallion... you know, they've got a lot of American horses that have come over. I think that the breeding is now starting to take effect there. Then you got Sierra Leone. And, you know, he has an opportunity to finally get the win that everybody thought he should have gotten from the Kentucky Derby on out. He's there for Chad Brown. Newgate will be one of the Bob Baffert trainees. In fact, the only Bob Baffert trainee, I think, right now. And then you got Highland Falls for Brad Cox, Tappet Trice for Todd Pletcher, and Arthur's Ride for Bill Mott, and a few, I'm sure, that are going to be other surprises there. But I don't know, this outside of all the publicity that City of Troy is getting and outside of all of the you know, publicity that Fierceness is getting because of its connections here in America, doesn't look like too much of a deep field in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and maybe not a vintage one at that.
I agree with you, Ralph. I mean, first of all, what do we really know about City of Troy? Has he even run on the dirt? Has he won on the dirt? I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess. But the hype is certainly around it. It looks like they're building, you know, they're trying to build some excitement up for it. But honestly, doesn't appear to be there yet. I'm sure after they draw and we get closer, you know, we're still 16 days out. Mm-hmm. This is the most stressful time for the trainers and the connections involved with all these horses because you're so close. You made it this far. You just want to wrap them in bubble wrap and hope everything stays sound and stays intact for another 16 days. But now it really becomes stressful for all the connections involved.
Yeah, not even a question about that. And when I'm talking about the Japanese horses, you know, quite a while ago, they started invading the America to get our big stallions. I guess the first one was Sunday Silence. They grabbed,
right.
Remember, they grabbed Sunday Silence and they brought him to Japan. And I think they have done it for quite a few other American stallions where they're getting that in the gene pool now of the Japanese bred horses and born horses. And I think that's working, as well as the fact that they're figuring out what they need to do from Japan to make them competitive in other places.
There used to be automatic throwouts, to be honest with you, Ralph. They would all go off 50-1 or 60-1 to, you know, but things have certainly changed over the last couple of years. You had Dermis Sotogaki a couple of years ago that ran very well, even though he lost. He had all kinds of trouble. Yet last year, you had Forever Young. So they're sending over real horses. They're figuring it out. And it's only a matter of time till they start winning these races. You know, and then you have all the Euro shippers on the grass. No matter how hard we try to beat them every year, they always seem to send the right ones here. And we have not had much success against them. So let's see if that trend continues.
Yeah, that's a dynamic we certainly have to look forward to and take seriously. And, of course, with Godolphin now having an American contingent that's been competing here in America, I guess they want to get a little bit of a foothold in that, and their horses, the Godolphins, what they sent here in America, have been doing very well in the American turf marathon races. So, you know, we're not only talking about trying to handicap horses that come from the East Coast to the West Coast, et cetera. Now it's, you know, it's a world championship, which means we got to take into consideration the Japanese and the Europeans as well. And it's going to, how do you guys... when you handicap the races, what kind of, importance you put on those horses from the other parts of the world?
Well, I'm a numbers guy. I work with the Rags and Sheets, and I work with them for over 40 years. And now every year we're making more and more numbers from out across the world, really. We used to never have numbers on Euro shippers, but over the last 5-6 years, we started making them. And it's very competitive, Ralph. And, you know, again, there's a lot of unknowns, and you learn a lot of along the way. And it's very difficult. Let's be honest. You're dealing with horses from all over the world. Who knows how good they are? You can go watch replays now, which were never accessible to people before the last couple of years. Now you can go watch replays of European horses, of horses in Dubai, of horses everywhere. Even in Japan, you could probably find some replays if you want. And a lot of people put a lot into that, and it's an important thing. And you'd like to watch your horses run somewhere or watch a couple of races that they were in before you go and play them.
And, of course, I think the denominator that I think has some importance to it that I always thought was of value is when they get to the particular venue that the races are going to be held over. It's important to see how they acclimate not only to the venue and that part of the country, but how they do training over the racetrack and how they're coming up to the race. You expect all of these horses to come up to the race in good order, and some of them, you know, tightening, like Bob Baffert, he'll tighten the screws big time on his horses. So you'll see some really eye-popping type of workouts. But it's more important, I think, to search out the horses that aren't doing good and kind of don't like where they're at.
Yeah, it's like, would you rather have a tip on a horse or a knock on a horse? Well, a lot of times I'd rather have a knock on a horse, to be honest with you, than a tip on a horse, because most people that have horses in races love their horses. You know, who do you like? I love my horse. Yeah. Well, I'd rather a guy say, you know, my horse isn't doing too well.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot easier that way when you don't have to beat the whole field, as opposed to, you know, maybe not using a horse or using him a lot less if they're not high on him. But again, everybody, like you said, Ralph, is going to have their horse top. Well, the key is to try to have them have their top performance come Friday and Saturday, the first 2 days, the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup. You want your horse to be in the best possible shape. You want them to get there as good as you can, and you want them to be prepared for peak performance. Not always easy to do, but that's what separates the great trainers from the good trainers and so on.
And, of course, the X factor is always Heisa looking after, seeing to make sure these horses are right. And a couple of years ago, Chad Brown sent a couple of horses to California, and the Heisa people got them scratched. And he was kind of not a happy individual for that because he thought that his horses were fine. He was not going to run a lame horse or a bad horse. And in those cases, really, you have to depend on their local vets and the vets that have been taking care of these horses, because they know their idiosyncrasies better than just a vet coming in off the shelf and taking a look at a horse. There are idiosyncrasies with that aspect as well.
There's no question about that. That's a big problem. You're dealing with state vets that have not seen most of these horses, especially all the horses that are shipping in. They may have seen them last year run. But, and between the state vets and Heisa and everything else, they pull the trigger pretty quickly on scratching these horses, sometimes too much. But unless you see a horse every day and unless you know everything about that horse, it's really not fair to the connections, But they get the final say, I would assume, Heisa or the state vets, whatever it is. And I'm sure there will be plenty of scratches and people that are not happy before it's all said and done.
Well, and then you've got, of course, the track maintenance, the track people. In the old days, they used to soup up the racetracks to make them real fast on big race days. I don't know if they do that as much now, but that's a factor as well, because as we hear so many times from John Lendo, that the track is deeper in the morning when they work the horses out, and then they kind of tweak it for the afternoon racing, et cetera. So you're talking about track biases. And then, of course, the post position draw. So there's a lot left to go yet for this Breeders' Cup besides just taking a look at where the particular horses are going to go, isn't it?
Well, the good news is you're going to, like 95%, get good weather. We don't have to deal with weather as far as Del Mar is concerned. It's not like the race, the Breeders' Cup is in New York or even in Churchill, where there's always a chance of bad weather. So you're going to get the good weather. The problem is, if you remember the last meet we just went through at Del Mar, for the most part, not every day, but for the most part, it was certainly speed favoring, certainly a conveyor belt type. And I don't think you want that on Breeders' Cup Day. I think you want the track to be as fair as possible, give everybody an opportunity, let the best horse win, and don't rely so much on track bias. But again, we went through a whole summer, Ralph. You remember every day we'd be texting back and forth. Yeah. Another speedway, another conveyor belt. You had 80-1 shots going wire to wire like there were 3-5 shots.
Yeah.
And that's not good. And, that's the problem. It's really a responsibility of the track to get that track even and as fair as possible and give everybody a chance to win.
Well, we will certainly be looking at all those factors with our handicappers, yourself and John Lendo, and, of course, our other guest handicappers. And so we invite everybody to come on down here at the South Point and enjoy together watching and betting and maybe how about winning some races for the Breeders' Cup as well. Let's try to get a winner today at Keeneland. What do you say?
Okay, let's look at the second race today, Ralph. It's 1/16 on the main track. It's a maiden claiming event, and I really like the number 6 horse in here, Morelli. This is a 2-year-old colt from the Jeff Hiles barn, Ricardo Santana, aboard to ride. He's listed at 6-1 on the morning line. Tried 2 turns last time for the first time at Churchill Downs. He ran really well. All kinds of trouble in the stretch. Go watch the replay. Again, the horse has the advantage of running around 2 turns. Most of this field has not done that. I like the 6-1. I like the Ricardo Santana. Number 6, Morelli, wins today's second race out of Keeneland.
All right, second race at Keeneland today, number 6, Morelli. The 6 in the second race, first post time, 10 o'clock. So the second race should go around 10:30 Pacific time. Second race, the 6 horse. And don't forget that Jonathan Hardoon has a full sheet today for Keeneland at his website.
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe. See you tomorrow.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. And we will be back. Our next up is Rich Eng, so don't go away.
Tunneled Stowers helps so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere. Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy.
There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go out to Rich Ang standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
All right. Right at the top, I want to tell everybody that if they can't get their daily racing form Breeders' Cup Advance at the place they normally get their racing forms, or if there's some place where they can't get a racing form, then they can get that very sought-after Breeders' Cup Advance edition. And you will mail it to them from Las Vegas, and you have a phone number for them to call and make that arrangement.
Yeah, the number for the office in Vegas, Daily Racing Forum, is 702-261-9400. And obviously, if you're in Vegas, like you and I are, Ralph, it's available. It will be available in almost every race book in the city or at the Racing Forum office at 6000 Southeastern Avenue, Suite 2B. But for those who are listening and viewing from out of town, you know, feel free to call the number. I'll pick up the phone, or my assistant Mike will take down your information. And when the books are available on Wednesday, the 23rd, we will mail them out to you.
Okay, enough said about that. Football this weekend, the Monday night game was a very frustrating game for the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, but he gets Devontae now. Going from the Raiders to the Jets, and of course he worked with him very well when they were both at the Green Bay Packers. And now I understand that he just got approval yesterday that Tom Brady has become a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that's really interesting because you know, if I'm Mark Davis, I would rely on Tom Brady's expertise. Moving forward, because when you have a half a dozen Super Bowl rings, you're doing something right. And he came from a great winning culture at the New England Patriots. And then he showed that he could win on his own down at Tampa Bay. He got a ring for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's real interesting. I hope Mark Davis does talk to Tom Brady, because this franchise, Ralph, we've been following it for a number of years, and you've been following it going back to the days in California. They have really struggled the last two decades. And, you know, after trading Davante Adams, I put a tweet out that, you know, maybe they should think about trading Max Crosby, because he's their most valuable player, and they could probably get a bushel of draft picks for him. I know the Lions would love to have him to replace Hayden. But the Raiders need to really turn things around.
Well, they said that Tom Brady said that he's going to be active with the team, and I'm sure the first thing he can do is try to you know, fine tune and help out the quarterbacks there at the Raiders. But it's going to be interesting, that is for sure. Well, you got selections today at Keeneland. You gave us a winner when we last saw you on Sunday at Keeneland. That was Irad Ortiz Jr.'s 4,000th career win. You got him home in the first race at Keeneland. What are we doing today, Richie?
Yeah, we also had a nice winner in the NFL. I said the Houston Texans outclassed the Patriots, and they did so on the football field, winning by 20 points. And my San Diego horse ran second. Let's go to race number six at Keeneland. Race six at Keeneland. It's a mile and an eighth, an allowance race. And this is a race route with very little speed in it. There's a lot of closers. I want to try one of the closers to try to outkick the others. That's from the outside, the number 10, Dioro Unbridled. Juicy, six to one, or is it? Yeah, 6-1 in the morning line. Mm-hmm. And this horse should be finishing really fast, among others. So let's go with number 10, Dioro Unbridled, race six.
All right, sixth race, Dioro Unbridled, the 10 in the sixth race with Vincent Charminard aboard. And this kick and ride, Charminard's okay. So yep. in the sixth race, the 10 horse is your play at Keeneland off of those nice winners over the weekend. And, of course, a full sheet for Keeneland right now at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. All right, Rich, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
We'll be back right after this last break with John Lindo and maybe even a thought or two from Jerry Jackowitz. So don't go away.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
$1 million will be on the line for a field of top juveniles at Los Alamitos. It's the running of the Golden State Million Futurity on Sunday, October 27th. They'll be dreaming of riches, led by fastest qualifier, American Dreamin'. This filly was simply sensational in the Golden State Million Trials. Plus, Lethal Cowboy 123 and Big Bang Rocket will be looking to repeat their big trial wins. And can Ultimate Battle win a Futurity after two runner-up finishes? The Golden State Million Futurity, Sunday, October 27th.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, hoping that he got all his honeydew list of stuff done for the 2 days off. We now go to John Lindo, standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. List is completed. Let's play some races.
Keeneland, a really fun meet, isn't it?
It is. It got chalky last week, but for the most part, these races are fun to handicap. They're deep in contention. There's not just one horse that can win these races. There's usually five, six, seven.
Well, I know that each and every week when you start the Lindo Report, and you have one today at Keeneland right here at the South Point free of charge in our book, and only here in the book at South Point, you can get a complimentary sheet of Lindo's report for today. You update the jockey trainer standings.
Right. And for Keeneland, going into this week, Tyler Gaffalione is your leading rider. No surprise, 14 wins. Luis Saez is second with 9, and Jose Ortiz has 8. As far as the trainers go, Brad Cox is the leader. He's got 7 winners. Then you have Brandon Walsh right behind with 6, and Rudolph Brissett with 5. A couple guys on the cold side, jockey Christian Torres is 0 for 24 at the meet.
Ooh.
And Kenny McPeak, the trainer, is 0 for 15 at the meet.
Yeah, well, as long as he gets Thorpita Anna to keep winning, his owners will be happy. That's for sure. What about those favorites?
Favorites were strong last week and now up to 46% for the meet, which is not the usual MO at Keeneland.
Wow. Well, it's, give it enough time, it'll level out. It might start right today. And, John, again, as I say, you have a Lindo report for today at Keeneland, covering all the races, a suggested late pick for, and all the goody information at the bottom. One comprehensive sheet right here at the South Point Racebook, free of charge, complimentary, only here at the South Point because they love horse players. Got a horse for me?
Yeah, I'm going to go to race number 6 as well and take on Richie. In race number 6, I like number 5, Generous Tipper. This is a horse that came off a laugh at Churchill. had some traffic trouble, got beat four lengths that day. That was in September. I think he'll go better with the race over the track. The mile and an eighth is going to be better for him than the mile and the 16th. Just a horse that's going to improve with the outing. I think at 8-1 on the program, there's value for number 5, Generous Tipper, race number 6 at Keeneland.
All right. In the 6th race, you like the 5, Generous Tipper, the 5 in the 6th race. And you guys gave me a Scirocco play for today. Of course, Richie came with the 10, so the Scirocco play is the exact box of 5, 10, 10, 5. Hopefully our handicappers will be right on the money there in the 6th race at Keeneland. And, John, anything that we should know from Southern California before we let you go?
No, the barn area at Del Mar opens up on Saturday, so we'll start seeing some of those horses filter into to Del Mar. The main track will open for training on Tuesday, so we'll get you some updates as they come in. But this weekend, a lot of important Breeders' Cup workouts 2 weeks out from the Breeders' Cup, so we'll be watching the workout tabs.
Yes, do that for us. We will find out how these horses are traveling in their workouts in Southern California. You'll be watching that for us on the backside in the morning, and we will we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, you got it. Now let's go to Jerry Jackowitz. Jerry, good morning. All right, we'll try it again.
Good, a few days.
All right, there you go, Jerry. Yeah, good morning again. You haven't burned your Raiders hat yet. That's good.
No, I'm just sort of proud of the Raiders. I mean, I think they play really hard. They're not quite, there. Their receiving core was sort of destroyed last week. They had one receiver playing really well, Bowers, but they play hard. These guys come out and play hard, and that's what I root for. And
all right, well, let's,
I'll get my wins with them.
Okay.
My Giants, too, both of them. They're playing really hard.
Playing is good, that's for sure, but you are in the minority with people say they're playing hard. They might be playing hard, but people think they're hardly playing, so we'll wait and see about that. Anyhow,
people watch the scoreboard. What can I tell you?
Yeah, well, they're betting the scoreboard, too, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, anyhow, for us. Hey, what do you got to say for us today?
Okay, I thought I'd give you a quick synopsis of what I've been talking about the last several weeks on the show. Mm-hmm. Just run it through it real quickly in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give everybody a quick overview, pull it all together.
Okay.
So I've got four basic items. Number one. Try to make the play. There should be something hidden about the form. There should be something unique or something imaginative that you understand about the horse that makes you think he's going to perform, he or she is going to perform well. It shouldn't be like a public idea that everybody's betting. And then make a price that you think is fair for it. If you get your price, go to the window. Make a simple win bet. If it's like 5-2 or under, make a win place bet when you get more money on it. You don't have to do anything more, but if you want, you can use my idea, which is to start with the wheel and then to add in more money on my best secondary horses so that I have a weighted wheel of sorts, a spread.
Okay.
I do it top and bottom when I'm getting like 3-1 or higher.
Okay.
And then bet similar amounts on each race. Don't be betting... let's say you start with a $40 unit, they'll be betting 40 on one and 60 on another. You know, it should be 40, 42, 43, and it should be consistent until your bankroll builds up and then raise it to 50.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is, keep this in mind, that the whole purpose of this is to get paid when your horse performs right there and then. Okay? Which does sort of suggests that you're not going to be playing a lot of pick threes, pick fours, and pick sixes with the majority of your bankroll. Mm-hmm. Most of your money's going to go into specific races. But if you do bet a pick three, one of those horses should mean more than everything else. And if that horse wins, because you have to win in pick threes or fours,
yeah.
If that horse wins, you should have at least an 80% chance of cashing that entire ticket. If you're throwing that, if that horse wins and you throw the ticket away, you've shot yourself in the foot.
Okay.
Bear that in mind.
All right. Well, that's some good advice capsuled for us, that's for sure. In the upcoming days and leading up to the Breeders' Cup, we'll have a few more questions to ask you about the Power Pages as it relates to the Breeders'
Sure.
Cup. But in the meantime, I think you've given us a nice little synopsis of good framework, good basic betting principles and habits, that's for sure. And
well, they work for me anyway.
And there's a, you know, there's only one more thing you got to say for today, and you might as well say it.
It's Ralph Sabato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.